Chapter 9. Kendall. I stared at the man in front of me. He was not who I thought he was. When I first met him, well, I couldn't remember our first meeting, but when I saw him by the pond, all I could see was how gorgeous he was. He may as well have been a picture in a magazine. That's why it was so easy to dismiss him when I found out that he was a football player. When I was introduced to him as my client, or whatever he is, I saw him as a hot bad boy. But what did that even mean? Who did I think I was talking to? Standing over him as he wiped the puke from his mouth, I realized that I didn't know who he was. Telling him that I was scared of him hurt him so much that he tossed his breakfast. Who was capable of such sensitivity? Built like a Greek statue, I assumed that he would be the strong one. And maybe he is. But it isn't in the way that I thought. Sure, he could pound a guy like Evan Carter to mush, but he was also capable of trusting me when every moment of his life had taught him to trust nobody. That was his true strength. In that way, he was stronger than me. How could I not love that about him? How could I not love him for it? Oh shit, I love him for it. I'm in love with Nero, my football player client. What was I supposed to do now? I trust you, I told him. At least, I'll try to. Nero, you're unlike anything I could have imagined. Thank you? He asked, looking at me confused. I don't know if it's a compliment as much as it is an admission that you aren't like anyone I've ever met. And because you're not, I have to consider you without weighing you down with my baggage. I don't know what that means. It means, I don't know what it means other than that I think you're special. And because you're smiling, I'm assuming you mean it in a good way, and not the way a teacher tells a parent that their kid is special. I laughed. No, I mean it in a very good way. You are pretty great, I said, feeling my face get hot. Okay, I could work with that. I think you're pretty special as well. It's more in the parent-teacher way, but that could be good too. I hit him on the shoulder in jest, and he laughed. Come on. No, I'm kidding, he said, getting up. I think you're pretty great too. He took my shoulders in his hands and looked into my eyes. Staring up at him, my heart thumped. I started to lose my breath. I had to swallow. I wanted him. I wanted everything about him. I wanted him in me. I was about to lean forward and get it until he said, I would kiss you right now, but I just spent the last little bit. He pointed at the remains of Cage's pancakes. Right. Maybe we should head back to town. Weren't we supposed to help set up for the festival? I know I was, but no one roped you into doing it. You don't have to feel obligated. Is that where you're gonna be? I asked. I guess so. Then that's where I wanna be. Nero smiled as much as I was. More than that, my dick was hard. That wasn't that unusual, considering how often thinking of him made me take things into my own hands. But there was a reason I was still a virgin. I wasn't a complete idiot. I could tell there were guys who wanted to stick their junk in me. A few of them were even hot. But I never felt it with any of them. I felt it with Nero. Why was that? Could it be because he was the first guy I ever felt I could trust? With him still holding my shoulders, I placed my palms on his chest. I had just wanted to touch him, but once my hands were there, it was hard to miss his muscles. It felt amazing. Mesmerized by the feeling, I looked down and slowly explored the ripples. He stood, taking it for a second, until, unless you have something very specific in mind, you should probably stop that and we should go. I looked up, unsure why he had said it. He pointed down at his pants. It took only a glance for everything to become clear. Nero was not only hard, but the guy was huge. And when he flinched, it sent a pulse through me that made me weak in the knees. Yeah, we should go, I told him with a swallow. Driving back to town, I couldn't help but touch him. It was all that I wanted to do anymore. With his arm around me as we drove, he told me stories about when he was growing up, I got the feeling that he was avoiding the horrible stuff, but what he told me gave me a clear picture. Since the age of 14, Nero had been living a double life. Not wanting people to know what was going on with his mother, he didn't tell anyone about his after-school job. He went to classes and football practice, and then once he got off, he became the rent collector. He talked about how much of an effect it had on him. "When did you realize you liked guys?" I asked him. "If I look back on it, I probably always knew. But it became pretty clear after puberty. There were boys at school I couldn't stop thinking about. There were a few girls, too, but it wasn't the same. I used to fantasize about jacking off with guys, even though there really weren't any of them I thought about kissing. But there weren't too many girls, either." "So, have you been with any girls?" I asked, unsure if I wanted to know the answer. "A few, but you know how it is. You get drunk at a party after a game, and a girl throws herself at you. Before you know it, your dick is in her, and it's all over." "Yeah, I don't think I know how that is," I said with a laugh. "Have you ever been with a girl?"
"I haven't been with anyone."
"Have you gotten close?"
"I think the closest I've gotten is with you," I admitted shyly.
"Why is that? Only a blonde man can't see how hot you are," Nero said with a blush.
"Thank you," I said, feeling his compliment. "I guess I never saw myself that way."
"Because of that asshole?"
"Who? Evan?"
"Was that his name?" Nero asked, getting mad thinking about him.
"Yeah, it could have been because of him and the rest of them. I don't know. I just know that I wasn't willing to make myself vulnerable like that. Before now."
"Before now?"
I looked up at Nero.
"Yeah." I could feel Nero's body heat through both of our shirts. His smell was all around me.
Still staring up at him, I lost all of the resistance I had towards him and slipped my hand on his inner thigh. Liking what I was doing, he helped by spreading his legs. Sliding my hand further, I felt his clothed balls. I couldn't believe I was touching it. As soon as I did, it wasn't enough. Cupping them in my small hand, I squeezed. He groaned. That was all I needed. Moving my hand to his cock, I followed the length of him. I had never touched another guy like this. It made my head spin, it felt so good. Not stopping there, I turned around and unbuttoned his pants. Still driving, he scooted forward, allowing me to unzip him. Sticking my hand past his waistband, I found his hard flesh. I was touching his cock. Pushing my fingers further onto him, I wrapped my palm around it. He filled my hand. Unable to wait a second longer, I freed the length of him and pulled it out of his underwear. Even with him seated, he was huge. Needing to get my lips around him, I leaned down. That was when he pulled the truck to a stop and gave me a better view. He was the biggest guy I had ever seen, and with both of my hands holding him, I bent down and kissed his tip. Feeling my lips on him was electric, but that was just the start. Allowing my tongue to escape, I tasted him. He was tangy. Pushing his head into my mouth, I bathed him in my warm saliva. He moaned, liking it. So when I pulled back, allowing my lips to ride his curves, all he could do was bury his fingers in my hair and enjoy. With him gently tugging at me, I lowered my head, pushing the tip of him onto the back of my throat. I didn't choke like I'd always imagined I would. So, with it sitting there, I pushed harder. It was a weird sensation when my throat opened up, allowing him to slide in. He had seemed so big, and he was, but he fit in me, and I could feel him go deeper. It sounded like Nero could breathe as little as I could, and when I pulled back, allowing my throat to snap shut behind it, we both inhaled sharply.
"Jesus!"
Nero exclaimed, sounding like he had just seen him.
"Where the hell did you learn to do that?"
I chuckled and returned to giving the man I loved the experiences of his life. Twirling the tip of my tongue around the ridge of his head, I stroked his shaft with both of my hands. It was like gripping a small baseball bat. I could feel his veins as I did.
This was what I had always imagined sucking a guy would feel like. Getting more comfortable by the second, I threw myself into it until he was deep inside of me again. Tugging and sucking, it wasn't long until his grip on my hair tightened. He was coming. I wanted him to shoot it down my throat. When he was flinching uncontrollably and leaning back, I pushed him as far into me as he could get. I could feel his twitching as he unloaded. It was unlike anything I could have imagined. As Nero loosened his grip on me and I ran out of breath, I retreated and sat up. Nero looked like he had seen God. He was happy. I loved that. When our eyes met, he smiled. "Thank you," he said before he touched my face. "Your eyes are watering." "I wonder why," I joked. Nero laughed, allowing his head to roll. "Seriously, Kendall, where have you been my whole life?" "Waiting for you." He looked at me and then laughed. I couldn't tell if he was giddy or drunk. "I'm falling in love with you, Kendall, and what you just did isn't helping."
Did he say that he was falling in love with me?
I wasn't ready to hear that. Sure, I was already in love with him, but if I admitted it, it would put us in a place I wasn't prepared for. Instead, I reached up and kissed his cheek, followed by his chin and Adam's apple. I didn't want him to think that I didn't love him. I did. It was just that it wasn't time yet. I wasn't sure why not, or when it would be, but I wasn't going to tell him I love him sitting in his truck with his cum working its way down my throat.
"Oh fuck, we're here!"
I exclaimed as I took my eyes off him to find parked cars and a field full of people. "I thought you had pulled over to the side of the road again."
"Yeah, I was gonna tell you that, but then you stuck my dick in your throat and I lost the ability to speak."
"Do you think anyone saw us?" I asked, embarrassed.
"I parked back here hoping no one would. But even if they did, they would have only seen me. Besides, you don't know any of these people."
I scanned the area. We were as far from the field as you could get. Even if they did see us, they probably couldn't make out what was going on.
"Relax. Like I said, no one here knows you."
"That doesn't mean I don't want to make a good first impression."
"Fair enough. But I've met you. There's no way for you to do anything else."
I turned to him and smiled.
"You're very sweet. Now pull up your pants. I'm the only one who needs to be seeing that." "So pushy," he joked before sitting up and returning his monster to its cave.
Driving the truck closer, we parked and entered the field. Looking around, it felt like the day before a festival. Booths were being set up, and there were a lot of people around. Everyone was walking casually, except for one person. When she spotted Nero, she hurried over.
"Good, you're here,"
the fair-skinned mid-50s woman said in a slight Jamaican accent.
"I thought you weren't going to make it."
"Sorry we're late. Something came up that Kendall had to take care of."
The high-energy woman turned to me.
"I assume you're Kendall. Dr. Sonia," she said, offering her hand. "Nice to meet you.
I heard that you're the one organizing everything. It has to be a lot of work." Dr. Sonia gave an exaggerated look of exhaustion.
"You can't even imagine. But you're both here now. Are you ready to roll up your sleeves?"
"Definitely," I said enthusiastically.
"Good."
She turned to Nero.
"I like this one. Now both of you get to work. Look for Titus. He knows what I want you to do,"
she told us before hurrying off. "She seems nice."
"Don't let her fool you. Let your guard down and she'll have you volunteering to paint the town red."
"I think the town would look good red," I joked.
"See? She's already got you," he said with a smile.
I wasn't sure who Titus was, but when I saw him, I recognized him.
"Kendall, right? Nero told me you were coming,"
Titus said with a glowing smile.
"You remember my roommate, right?"
"Oh, I didn't realize you two were roommates."
"Yep, he can't get rid of me," Titus said playfully. "Speaking of that, is Lou coming?"
Nero asked with a smile.
"How are those two things connected?"
Titus asked, confused.
"I don't know. Is he?"
"He is not. Busy this weekend."
"A shame."
"Yeah. Anyway,
Dr. Sonia has assigned you the task of putting out the welcome signs, he said, referring to a box beside him. There's one that hangs across the street. That one should go at the beginning of town. Do you mean at the general store or something? I trust you to figure it out, he said, patting Nero on the shoulder with a smile. Also, there are a few signs with arrows. We've gotten permission from the school to use a few of their sawhorses. Make sure people know how to navigate here from the main road. Is there anything else you wanted us to do? Nero asked sarcastically. I'm sure we'll have all the time. I hear she was looking for someone to paint the town red? I joked. What? Titus asked, confused. Nero laughed. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of this. I'll call you if we run into problems. I knew I could count on you, Titus said, flashing another winning smile. I had never helped set up anything like this, but what Nero implied was right. It was a lot of work. It wasn't like it was hard. It was just time-consuming. First, we needed to go to the school and find the handyman. But he hadn't heard anything about us picking up the sawhorses, so then we had to find the principal and find the handyman again. After that, we had to figure out how to attach the signs and where to put them. Although we had more than enough signs, we only had 3 sawhorses. That would have been fine if there were only 3 turns, but there weren't, so we had to get creative. Once that was done, we unfolded the one that was supposed to hang over the street. The thing was huge and meant to hang from ropes. Okay, but what did the ropes attach to? We spent an hour trying to figure out how to hang it between the general store and the empty lot that was across the street before we gave up. He then considered hanging it between the store and the restaurant next to it, but decided that it would be too low and that no one would see it. It wasn't until the sun was setting that Nero got the idea to hang it a mile out of town. There was only one road that led into Snowtip Falls. On either side of it were trees, and halfway down it was the remains of a wall. The entire area used to be the compound for a community of moonshine runners, hence the festival. The dilapidated wall was the remnants of that time. So there are definitely places we can hang it from, I said, looking up at the pine trees. And it would be high enough for people to see and drive under, but how are we supposed to get up there? How are you climbing trees? Nero joked. Great, good thing I wore my climbing boots. I thought you wore your hiking boots. And I thought you were taking me hiking. But plans change, I said teasingly. We had a lot of other ideas about how to hang a 25-foot sign between trees 20 feet in the air. None of them were good. As it got dark and we got desperate, Nero decided to do the obvious, climb the trees. It was impressive. I wasn't an outdoors type, so to see him get physical with nature gave me thoughts. I'm gonna lower the rope and I need you to attach it to the sign, he told me as it came down. This probably wasn't the best plan, I told him, tying it off. I'm open to suggestions if you have a better idea for the other side. Oh, and is there a knot you can use for us to pull it from side to center it? Even in the dark 20 feet below, I could see the glare Nero gave me. Sorry, you're doing great, I said, giving him an enthusiastic thumbs up. He stared at me for a second, then went back to work. When we were done, we hadn't done a half-bad job. I like it, I told him. Good job, I said, hugging him from behind. He wasn't quite as excited about it as I was. He was more bruised and covered in pine sap. He looked exhausted. He didn't even have the strength to thank me. Returning to the truck, we drove back to their place in silence. I didn't think he was mad at me, but unsure, I gave him his space. Parking, I followed him into the house and joined Quinn, Cage, and his mother at the kitchen island, while Nero continued upstairs. Hey, how did it go? Quinn asked me cheerfully. It was an interesting day. Where's Nero? Washing off the interesting day, I'm guessing. Quinn laughed. Something to drink? Absolutely. By the way, should I worry about him? Cage replied, did he go silent? Yeah. Cade shrugged. Just give him a few minutes. I'm sure he'll be down when he's ready. Meanwhile, I'll start dinner.
The cider I was handed made it a lot easier to relax. As the alcohol kicked in, I joined in on the conversation. After everything Nero told me today about his mother, I saw her differently. It was hard not to see his upbringing as abusive. She was clearly going through a mental health crisis with no one to help her. It was an unfortunate situation for everyone involved, but I couldn't help but take Nero's side. Despite that, I tried to be as friendly as I could and make the best impression I could on her. She was still the mother of the guy I was in love with. No matter how I felt about her, she would never stop being that. Nero said that you're thinking about going back to work? Do you have any idea what you would want to do?
I don't know. Whatever's available.
I told you, Mama, you don't have to take just anything. I can take care of you. If you want to work, find something you'd enjoy doing, Cage insisted.
That's not the way it is around here, Cage. This isn't New York. You take the work you can find.
No one's mistaken this for New York, Mama. Quinn?
Not me, he joked.
See, and all I'm saying is that you don't have to go find something that will make you unhappy. You can take your time. Figure out what you want to do. When you have that, go do that.
She shook her head as if trying to get used to the idea.
That's not the way it worked in my day.
We get that, but you have two sons now.
I've got three sons, she said, looking at Quinn.
Thanks, Mama, Quinn said.
Which reminds me, when are you two going to make things official?
Quinn and Cage looked at each other.
In time, Cage said with a smile.
It's wonderful seeing how much you accept Cage and Quinn being together. I'm not sure my parents would be so accepting.
Your family would have a problem with us?
Nero said, joining us in the living room.
He wasn't wearing a shirt. It looked like he had just gotten out of the shower. As drool-worthy as he looked, I hadn't missed that Nero had referred to us as if we were already a couple. I ignored it. They didn't have the easiest time dealing with me. I liked pushing people's limits, theirs included, and the more anyone resisted, the harder I pushed.
How did that work out for you? Nero asked.
I got my ass kicked every day, but what else was a boy as pretty as me supposed to do in Nashville? I said, flipping my head, pretending to have long hair.
Everyone laughed except for Nero. I had said what I had to be funny. I guess it wasn't once you knew the details.
Dinner's ready,
Cage said, sending us to the dining room table. With the drinks overflowing, everyone's mood improved, even Nero's. Sitting next to me, I spent the whole night thinking about his hand on my thigh. I would say that it's hard to eat when you were this aroused, but it wasn't. I probably ate more, compensating for what I couldn't put in my mouth. Following dinner with a rousing game of Scrabble, Quinn was wiping the floor with us without trying. After he put down an 8-letter word that more closely resembled Roman numerals, I questioned him about it.
If you want to challenge it, you can, Quinn offered. Don't do it, Cage joked. He's memorized the Scrabble dictionary. If he puts it down, believe me, it's there.
You memorized the dictionary? I asked, stunned.
I mean, not the whole dictionary. It's more about learning the words that help you place the hard-to-play letters. There are only a few dozen of them.
And by a few dozen, he means about 500, Cage explained.
Seriously? I asked, amazed. Quinn shrugged.
I looked over at Nero, who said, You can challenge him, but I've learned my lesson.
We all have, but be our guest, Cage explained.
Yeah, Kendall, be our guest, Quinn said with a cocky smile.
Wait, are you doing smack talk? Nero teased.
Has Quinn started doing smack talk? Quinn blushed.
Okay, I give up. If Nero tells me to trust you, I will.
I'm not getting anywhere near whatever you all have going on, I said playfully.
Smart move, Nero said, gripping my shoulder and kissing me on the head.
I hadn't expected him to kiss me. As soon as he did, I scanned the room. Everyone was watching. I didn't know how to feel about it, but it did feel good seeing how comfortable he was showing affection towards me. It filled a hole in my life that I didn't know I had.
With the Scrabble scores calculated and the person in second place declared champion, everyone else headed to bed. Did you want another drink? Nero asked. I'm good. I'm still feeling the last one. But thank you, I told him with a smile. The two of us looked at each other. When Nero didn't make a move, I did. Putting my hand on his thigh, I rubbed his leg. Did you want to head to bed? I asked him. I guess. Hey, how did your mattress feel? What do you mean? I don't know. Mine was a little hard. Not bad or anything. I was just wondering how yours was. Nero stared at me for a second. Did you want to see? I guess for comparison, I said, unable to contain my smile. Then let's go, Nero said, getting up and taking my hand. As we crossed the living room to the stairs, my heart thumped. There was no question what I wanted to happen next. I was in love with Nero. I wanted him to be my first. And approaching his bedroom, electricity danced across my skin with anticipation. Flicking on the soft nightstand lights, we entered. Nero sat on the bed first. I don't know, feels pretty good to me. What do you think? I sat next to him, allowing our arms to brush against one another. It's nice, I said, suddenly at a loss for words. You know I like you, right? Nero said, leaning closer. I've never met anyone like you. When I think of you, I think about forever. I said I was falling in love with you, but it's too late. I think I'm in love. That was when I kissed him. Throwing my legs around his waist, I sat in his lap, pushing my body against his. Wrapping my arms around his neck, I turned my attention to our kiss. Seeming thrown for a second, he quickly took control. Pushing his fingers through my hair, he gripped and tugged. I loved it. Pressing his chest against mine, he parted our lips and pushed in his tongue. Finding mine, they danced. I lost myself in the sensation. Whipped away to another world, all I could think about was our kiss. I wanted more. I wanted the two of us to become one. Without thinking, I found myself grinding my open legs against his torso. I couldn't help it. The sensation felt too good. The mix of it and the kiss was a drug that I was immediately addicted to. So, when Nero reached down and ripped off my shirt, I did the same, needing the full radiance of his body heat. Shirtless, Nero scooped his arm under my ass and lifted me like it was nothing. Laying me onto the bed, he reached for the button on my pants. I untwined my legs, letting him. With only my underwear left, he moved back up my body. Climbing on top of me, he glided his hands up my sides and onto my arms before pinning my hands on the bed above me. Unable to resist, he stared at me, knowing that I couldn't escape even if I wanted to. I didn't. I wanted to be exactly here, but I wanted to get my hands on his body, and the fact that I couldn't made me want him more. Mercifully, Nero leaned down and kissed my lips. It was only for a second. He then kissed his way to my ear and my neck. Giving him full access, he then moved to my shoulder and then my chest. When he got to my nipple, he bit it. The sensation sent shockwaves through me. It hurt, but the pain felt good. I wanted him to stop as much as I wanted him to do it again. When he released my hands and traveled lower, I reached for him and massaged his head. Without realizing it, I was pushing him further down. I couldn't forget how his lips had felt around my cock. It had been the greatest sexual experience of my life. When his face got to my underwear, he rubbed his nose along my hard cock. Through the cloth, he took it in his mouth. The heat of it made my chest lift. When he finally pulled down my underwear and wrapped his large hands around my balls, I was twitching in desperate need of him. Returning his lips to my tip, I ached for him. Taking my head into his mouth, I gripped the sheets. It was about then that he let go of my balls and rounded my ass. Pushing into my cheeks, he found my hole. Massaging it, he lowered his mouth, swallowing my cock. Everything he was doing was separating me from my body. I had to fight with everything I had to remain conscious. Pressing my hole harder,
I hoped I knew what would happen next. Releasing my cock, I heard him ask, "Yes?" "Yes," I moaned, wanting him inside of me. As if I had done something wrong, he let me go. The sudden loss of him caused me to open my eyes and look for him. On his knees, he was removing the last of his clothes. With his monster springing out, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I followed it as he climbed over me and reached for the nightstand. When Nero returned and squirted the contents of a bottle into his palm, I knew this was it. Nero didn't disappoint. Slipping an arm under my knee, he rolled me onto my back. With my ass opening for him, he pushed his fingers onto my hole. His lube made it easier. Applying pressure until his slick fingers entered me, I yelped. Leaving it there until I relaxed around it, he gently removed it and worked his way on top of me. With my ass rolling higher into the air, I stared up into Nero's beautiful blue eyes. I needed to kiss him. Again, he didn't disappoint. I could feel the tip of his cock look for my opening as our lips met. As I opened my mouth, his tip found my hole. Perching above me as I found his tongue, he thrust his hips until, with intense pressure, he popped into me. I moaned. He was so big. The pain that followed washed through me before settling like a crashed wave. Luckily, he didn't move as the feeling overwhelmed. But when it drained from me, and I realized that the man I was in love with was in me, I pulled him tighter and began kissing him again. Pushing deeper into me, my head danced. We were still kissing, but barely. Everything in me was focused on the sensation down below. With every moment, it was turning from pain to pleasure. And by the time he was legitimately fucking me, I knew why this was all some people talked about. I had thought him sucking me was good, but there was no greater feeling than Nero's cock in my ass. He was in me. The two of us were one. I didn't ever want him to leave me. But as he fucked me harder and the pulse within me built, Nero's face twisted and I dug my fingers into his back. "Ah!" I groaned, feeling the explosion crest. My inner thighs tingled. My balls retracted, trying to hold it back. But when the ache and pressure got too much, I orgasmed with the force of a fire hose. I drenched our two chests. Nero didn't notice because he had an eruption of his own. Moaning like a feral animal, he filled me with everything he had. Buried in me, he couldn't stop flinching. More than that, any move I made started the flinching again. It took forever for him to calm enough to cradle me in his arms. But when he did, it was the greatest feeling in the world. He was still hard and inside of me, and I loved it. Eventually, he did lower my hips and slip out, but that was when he pulled a hand towel from the nightstand and cleaned us both off. "What else do you have in there?" I joked about his nightstand.
"What do you need?"
"Wow, you came prepared. How confident were you?"
"I didn't know if it was gonna happen, but I hoped, and it's better to have it and not need it."
"Than to need it and not have it?"
"Exactly," he said with a smile.
With him pulling me back into his arms and rolling me on top of him, I rested my head on his chest. "I think I'm starting to need you," I told him.
"Luckily, you have me."
Did I have him? I hoped I did. But I hadn't done anything like this before. I had never had a boyfriend. How did any of this work? Although it took a while, eventually I fell asleep. I had good dreams. When I woke, we were in different positions, but he was still holding me. Wiggling so that my back could press against his chest, I realized that I had morning wood. Did he? Adjusting my hips, I learned he did. Maybe I had done a little too much wiggling, or maybe just enough, but quickly I found the tip of his cock again pressed on my aching hole. I groaned and eased back onto him. That was all I needed to do, because for the second time in my life, and the last few hours, I felt a hard cock push into me and fill me up. Unlike the hard fucking that had happened last night, this time it was gentle and sensual. It didn't hurt going in, and everything about it felt natural. God, did I love this man. He was what I dreamed of, and when the thought of him became too much, I reached down and jerked my cock. That was when he sped up, so that we could come at the same time. With a palm full of my cum, I chuckled. "I'm awake now," I told him. "How's that for an alarm clock?" "That's how I want to get up," I said with a smile. "Every morning that you want it, I promise." "I'll take you up on that," I said, finally turning towards him and finding his lips. After Nero pulled himself out of me and reached over, retrieving another cloth from the nightstand, I cleaned myself off and turned to face him. "I want to do something for you," I told him, wanting to make him as happy as he had me.
"What's that?"
"I want to find out the situation around your birth father."
"I told you, you can try."
"Thanks, but I don't think she'll open up to me if I just ask her. Do you know if she's going to the festival today?"
"She is, and you don't know how much of a miracle that is. She hasn't done anything this social in about 8 years.
"Wow. Huh. Do you think she would mind if I hung out with her today? If I had some alone time with her, she would probably feel more comfortable opening up."
"We could do that."
"No, I mean just me. I mean, you could if you want. She's your mother. But I thought that if I have time with her without you, she might see me as someone she can share things with."
"Do you think it'll work?"
"It's the best idea I've got. And I promise you that I'll be able to tell you something you didn't know before. It may not be what I ask, but it will be something. Do you trust me to do that?"
"Yeah, I trust you," he said with a smile.
I leaned over and kissed him. I was excited to do this. It represented the very best I had to offer him. Showering separately, Nero stayed in bed until I was done. I wanted to head downstairs first to start putting in time with his mother.
"Morning," everyone said, looking like they'd been up for hours.
"Morning. Are we late for breakfast?"
"A little. Where's Nero? I can scramble a few more eggs to go along with the French toast I've cooked," Cage suggested.
"You made French toast?" I turned to Quinn. "How are you still so thin?"
"Believe me, it's all genetics," Quinn said with a smile. "Nero will probably be down in a few minutes. He was right behind me." "I'll get started," Cage said, going to work.
"Miss Roman, you must love having a son who cooks like this?" I asked the woman I sat next to.
"I just love having my son back. I don't care how he cooks," she said, looking at Cage with joy. I could tell that she wasn't going to be hard to get to know.
"Since I don't know anyone and Nero will be helping out with the festival, do you mind if I hang with you today?" I asked her casually.
"It would be my pleasure," the dark-haired woman said, wrapping my hand in hers.
Once Nero joined us, we sat around the table and planned our day. Most of the planning was Cage and Nero gently teasing Quinn about the mascot costume he agreed to wear.
"Hey, I helped him make that thing," I said, defending him.
"It was even his idea," Quinn said.
"So you're the one painting the target on my baby's back?"
Cage asked, amused.
"It's a moonshine festival. I thought he should be wearing a moonshine jug."
"And when drunk rednecks try to pop his cork and drink him, what are you gonna do then?"
Nero asked, playfully.
"Well, I thought the two of you did a wonderful job,"
Nero's mom said, coming to our defense. I grabbed her arm, wrapping mine around hers.
"Thank you, Miss Roman."
I turned to the guys. "See? And you should always listen to your mama." Everyone laughed, having a good time. After Nero and I cleaned up, we packed up the trucks and headed to the festival. Nero's mom rode with us.
"Didn't you have to take care of that thing for Titus?" I asked him after we had been walking for a while.
"Oh, right. It will probably take me, what?"
he asked, looking at me.
30-45 minutes, I suggested.
"Probably. You good with Kendall, Mama?"
"I'm just fine," she said, crinkling the skin around her eyes with her smile.
With Nero gone, I asked her questions, starting with the most basic ones possible. Hearing Nero's stories, I had an idea of what I should avoid.
I think I succeeded, and by the time Nero returned, she was telling me about where she grew up. It was in a nearby town, somewhere 50 miles from here. With Nero back, I switched up my questioning. I hinted at things that might be off limits and danced around things that were probably too sensitive. But when I asked her what she had wanted to be when she grew up, I seemed to hit an unexpected nerve. Tears filled her eyes as she explained.
I wanted to be a ballerina.
You wanted to be a dancer, Mama? I didn't know that about you.
Yep, I took classes and was very good. That's why you can dance around the field like you do. You get that from me.
Not from his dad? I asked casually. She didn't respond. I was thinking she would ignore it completely until she said,
He got his athletics from his dad. He got his dancing from me.
I didn't react because I was trying to keep her comfortable, but Nero couldn't help himself. He stared at her with his mouth hanging open.
I got it from my dad?
That's what I said. Now, how about we try some of those moonshine muffins over there? Do you think they have alcohol in them?
Maybe, but what I really want to know is...
I subtly put my hand on his forearm to silence him. He took my suggestion. Now that she unlocked the door, I knew I could get her to open it. But it was going to be a delicate operation. I was glad that Nero trusted me to execute it. Purchasing a few of the muffins, we ate them as we caught up with Cage and Quinn. Quinn was walking around in his mascot costume, posing for pictures with people, while Cage attentively kept watch.
It's quite the turnout, Cage said, scanning the area. Dr. Sonia should be pleased. Titus should be too. He's all about these types of things, Nero said.
I turned to Quinn.
You all right in there? We didn't make armholes or a hole to breathe through. Oh, yeah, I realized with a laugh. Sorry, it was my first moonshine jug costume. I'm dying in here. You can take it off whenever you want, you know. I think you've done your duty, Cage told him. No, I can do it. I just need some water. Quinn, why didn't you tell me that? Okay, I'm gonna get this one some water. What do you think? Pop the cork and pour it in? Cage said with a smirk. It's not funny, Quinn exclaimed.
We all silently laughed. We had made eye holes, but we had covered it with a fabric that made it hard to see through. I didn't think he would catch us.
You know I can see you laughing, right? It's not funny. That's right, everyone, Cage said, pretending he wasn't laughing too. It's not funny. Quinn is doing something very nice for the town. We should all thank him for it.
Quinn, you're doing a great job, Miss Roman said.
Bang up job, Nero told him. You are wearing that moonshine jug, I said enthusiastically.
Whatever. Cage, lead me away from here.
You got it, gorgeous, Cage said, looking back at us with a playful glare. We're gonna have to make that up to him, Nero decided.
Yeah, I'll invite him to dinner when we get back to school, I told him. I thought he looked quite nice, Nero's mother volunteered.
After a few more hours of food and moonshine shots, the sun began to set and Nero, his mother, and I headed home. Miss Roman was in a very good mood. Nero was too, so when I suggested that we have drinks on the veranda, everyone agreed.
When did you move here? I asked her. A long time ago. I can barely remember it anymore.
What brought you here?
I was pregnant with Nero, she said, putting her hand on his forearm with a smile. I can't imagine raising a baby by myself.
Did you know anyone here?
I didn't know a soul.
Then why here?
I don't know. I didn't want to move too far, and I had always heard about this town.
I didn't know anyone had heard about this town, Nero snipped.
I held up my hand, quieting him. I was getting a lot of answers, so I didn't want him to accidentally change the mood. Seeing my gesture, he listened.
That was one of the reasons I chose here, because the town wasn't well known.
I hear a lot of people like small towns because it gives them the chance to be anonymous. Was that you? Her pleasant demeanor melted into deep thought.
That was one of the reasons.
I matched her mood. Did it have to do with what happened to Cage? I can't imagine what it must be like to be told he had died when you knew he hadn't.
It was very hard on me,
How did you even function after something like that?
I didn't. Not for a long time.
I guess it helps to have someone supporting you as you did.
I didn't have anyone.
What about Cage's father? He must have been there for you, wasn't he?
He didn't want me to have Cage in the first place.
Oh no.
He was completely against it.
But he knew you were pregnant?
Yeah.
And you told him what happened at the hospital?
I told him, and the look he gave me afterward told me all I needed to know.
What do you mean? What did his look tell you?
That he had something to do with why I didn't have my baby,
she said, looking into my eyes with sadness. That's horrible. What do you think he did?
I don't know.
Do you think he had Cage kidnapped?
I can't be sure.
All I know was that it changed me. I couldn't get back to the person I was before, and eventually, he didn't want to have anything to do with me. That's when I came up with a plan. I was going to get back what he took from me.
What do you mean?
I asked.
One day, I asked to come by his place, telling him if I did, I would leave him alone forever. He agreed. When I got there, I made him his favorite drink and dropped something in it that I had gotten in Nashville. I had made a special trip there to find it,
she said with a smile. What was it?
It was something that would help me to get what I deserved from him, but he wouldn't remember.
And that's how I was born, Nero said, realizing.
That's how I got you,
she said, squeezing his forearms and staring into his eyes. You drugged him? Her tight-lipped smile dropped. She let him go and sat up.
I did what I had to do to get back what he had taken from me,
she said, looking down. So I'm only here because you... Nero, do you mind getting me another drink? I said, cutting him off. He turned to me, knowing what I was doing. I stared at him wide-eyed and shook my empty glass. He looked like he was about to ignore me when headlights lit the veranda. It was Cage and Quinn pulling up.
I'm feeling tired. It's been a long day. I hope you two don't mind if I head to bed early.
Of course not. Do we, Nero? Nero met my unwavering glare and then relented. Of course not, Mama. She got up.
Then tell Cage and Quinn I said goodnight.
We will, I told her before she went inside and disappeared for the night. When she was gone, Nero turned to me and snapped.
What did you do that for?
What did I do?
You kept shutting me up like that.
You wanted answers, right?
I was getting you answers. The only answer I got was that I'm here because Mama raped some man.
Shh, keep your voice down.
Don't tell me to shut up. You heard her. She was mad because my dad took what she really wanted from her, so she drugged and raped him to get me. You heard her say it.
I was trying to think of some other way I could frame it, but my mind wasn't moving fast enough. He was right. That was what she had just explained. How do you make someone feel better once they learn that their existence is the result of rape?
What are you two drinking?
Cage said, standing in the doorway with a smile. Nero looked at him with anger.
What?
Nero stared at him for a moment more, then said,
Nothing.
And pushed past him, headed inside.
What just happened?
Cage asked me, confused. I wasn't sure how much to tell him. This had to do with him as much as it did Nero. But was it my place to say anything? On the other hand, if he knew, maybe he could help Nero process it in a way I couldn't. Your mother just shared something about how Nero was born, I told him hesitantly.
What?
He asked, approaching me.
I'm not sure if I should be the one to say.
What's going on?
Quinn said, stepping outside and seeing the tension.
Kendall said that Mama just told them something about how Nero was born.
She told you two something about their father?
Not exactly, I said.
Whatever it is, you have to tell us, Quinn insisted. This has been something Cage has been wondering about his whole life. You need to tell us, Kendall. There's no other choice you can make.
I still didn't know if I should, but I did. I told them what their mother had said to me and why. It was something I was hoping I could do for Nero. I thought knowing would help him. Now he's just... I don't know. You didn't know what she would say. Neither did I, Quinn said. But you had a feeling he wouldn't like it? I asked.
I had a feeling.
What do I do now? I asked, looking between them. Nero's been through a lot in his life. He'll figure out how to deal with this. I just wish it wasn't something that made him feel he wasn't wanted.
He has enough of those.
Yeah, he does, I confirmed, remembering the horror stories he had told me. So, what do I do tonight? The two of them looked at each other. They didn't have a clue. Neither did I. Did I give him his space? Did I climb into bed with him and offer him my body? I didn't know. Not wanting to decide, I stayed on the veranda. Grabbing drinks, Cage and Quinn joined me. The fun time everyone had had beforehand was gone, but we continued to talk. Quinn told me about his experience as the mascot, and I told them a little more about myself. Even if I hadn't met Nero, I was pretty sure that I would have liked Quinn and Cage. They were both great people. More than that, they were starting to feel like friends. When they headed to bed, I did too. I wasn't going to return to the guest bedroom. Nero might have needed space, but I didn't want to create distance between us. I loved him. I wanted to be with him. Allowing the light from the hallway to flood the room, I saw Nero already asleep in bed. At least, he looked asleep. Undressing, I joined him. I would have been okay if he had wanted to use my body to feel better, but he didn't. The closest we got all night was when I couldn't take being apart from him anymore, and I rolled over and touched his back. It was only then that I was able to fall asleep. When I woke up the next morning, he was gone. The bed was empty. Getting dressed and going in search of him, I found him downstairs ready to leave. I was the last one down, so Quinn and Nero were waiting on me. I'm sorry, you could have woken me, I explained. That's okay, Quinn said. My first class is this afternoon. Yours is at 8 a.m., isn't it? Nero asked. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, what time is it? I asked. 6:15, Nero said, looking at me like we were strangers. Yeah, I guess we should go. Is your mother up? I should say goodbye.
She doesn't usually get up until 7:30, Cage told me. And she had a few drinks yesterday, so she might decide to sleep in.
Then I'll get my stuff. I said goodbye to Cage, letting him know how much fun I had had. And driving back to campus, it was again Quinn and I who did all of the talking.
What building is your class in? I'll drop you there.
I told Nero, and we pulled up in front of it. I was only 10 minutes late. I had a lot of fun this weekend, I told Quinn, who was in the back seat. Thank you so much for inviting me. We're all really glad you came. I looked over at Nero. This weekend was nice. He didn't look at me.
Yeah, I'll text you.
I wanted him to kiss me bye. He didn't. After being as affectionate as he had been all weekend, it couldn't be because Quinn was there. It had to be what he had learned about his birth. He was clearly having a hard time dealing with it. Okay, I told him before collecting my travel bag, getting out of the truck, and watching him drive away. As much as I wanted to stand there thinking about what I should do next with Nero, I knew I had to get to class. Entering as quietly as I could, I found a seat in the back and pulled out my phone to take notes. When the class ended, my plan was to sneak out.
Kendall, can I speak to you for a moment? Professor Nandan said as I tried.
As large as the class was, I didn't think he would notice that I was late. I was readying my excuse when he brought up something else.
How's your experience with Nero going?
Oh, of course he was asking me about my time with Nero. The student counselor program is what he had been working on his whole career. I think it's going well. In fact, that's why I was late. He had invited me to the town where he grew up so I could get better insight into the origins of his issues.
He invited you to go home with him?
Yeah, there was also a festival this weekend. I had helped his brother's boyfriend build a costume for it, so he was the one who actually invited me. I mean, they both did, but I went because of Quinn.
Quinn?
His brother's boyfriend. He has a house there. They moved into it this weekend. I thought about it and laughed. I guess there was a lot going on. Professor Nandan stared at me suspiciously.
What? It's my mistake for not saying this before, but dating someone you're trying to help is never a good idea.
Dating? I said, feeling my face flush.
No, why would you suggest that? It's okay if you are dating him. I don't want to make it seem like there would be anything wrong with that, but if you are, I will have to assign someone else as his counselor.
Why?
Trust and consistency are the two bedrocks to counseling. It is often what allows people to open up and work through their feelings.
I'm both of those things.
And that's great. But the complexity introduced by intimate relationships often interrupts that. Again, there's nothing wrong if you two are dating. It would mean you've made progress with your bias against football players. But as a person trusted with Nero's mental health, I would be required to remove you from your role with him.
I looked at my professor, not knowing what to say, but knowing I had to say something soon. Weren't Nero and I dating? Hadn't we had sex? Hadn't he told me he loved me? Didn't I love him? At the same time, I didn't want anyone else to be assigned to him. He was making tremendous progress with me as his counselor. He had opened up so much. And hadn't I gotten the answer to a question he had wondered about his whole life? Sure, we might have experienced a bump in the road as he's processing it, but I was the one who had done that for him. No one else could have. I'm the only one who could help him in the way he needs it. I'm positive about that.
Don't worry, Professor Nandan. The two of us are just counselor and counseled, I said with a forced smile. And I think he's making a lot of headway. He's opened up a lot. I think I'm helping him.
Professor Nandan looked at me skeptically, but relented.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. His coach did mention that he's playing better than ever.
See, I've been helping him. You can trust me, Professor Nandan. I have his best interest at heart.
That's good to hear, he said, finally relaxing. But keep in mind that your counseling doesn't give you permission to be late for my class.
I'm sorry about that. It'll never happen again. Or, at least, I'll try, I said with a smile.
You do that, he said, smiling back.
As sure as I was that I was the one who could best help Nero, my professor's words did linger as I walked back to my room. I knew the rule against dating someone you're helping. Everyone does. I never thought I would have to worry about it, because I never thought I would date anyone, much less a client. Yet, here I was sleeping with the first person whose mental health I had been entrusted with. What did that say about me? I would like to think that this was a special circumstance. After all, I did kiss him before he had been assigned to me. We had established our attraction for each other before our work together began. Besides, wasn't it Nero's attraction to me that got him to open up? Would he have come out to a complete stranger? He certainly wouldn't have invited them to his place for the weekend. And if they weren't in his hometown, Nero couldn't take them to the lake and share his painful story. No, it was a good thing that the two of us had the relationship we did. It was helping him. But as his counselor, maybe it was better if I slowed things down. I wanted to be his boyfriend. I wanted to rush to his side and wrap my arms around him until he felt better. However, a good counselor would give him the time and space he needed to process it all. He said that he would text me. So, instead of pushing him, I would wait for his text. It would be what a typical therapist would have to do. And it wasn't like I needed to hear from him every day. It wasn't like I needed him to breathe or anything.
Evan Carter! Prickles shot through my body like jagged rocks. I whipped around, replaying the image in my mind. I saw Evan Carter. It took me a moment to realize it, but I had. At least, I thought I had. I thought I had seen him standing in the quad staring at me. I didn't see him now. Scanning everywhere, I didn't even see someone trying to hide or get away. Had it just been in my head? Double-checking my surroundings, I considered that it could have been. Thinking I had seen Evan when I hadn't wasn't a new thing. It used to happen a lot, especially my freshman year. I used to think I saw him everywhere. He was the boogeyman sitting in my periphery. Whenever I looked for him, though, he was never there. But all that had stopped
I had barely thought about him after Nero beat the shit out of him. I had gotten my justice. What Nero had done had allowed me to move on. Recentering myself, I took a deep breath and continued to my room. I reminded myself that I didn't have to be scared of Evan Carter anymore. Nero had taken care of it for me. Nero had put the fear of God in him. There was no way he would dare show his face here, even if he knew where I was. But I was sure that he didn't, and I knew Nero would keep me safe. That is, if we were still together. Initially, I thought questioning how Nero felt about me was me being insecure. After all, we had spent the weekend together opening up about the most intimate parts of our lives and having sex. No one could go cold that quickly. But as the days passed and I hadn't heard from him, I began to wonder. Could I really mean so little to him that he could disappear for days without a word? Sure, he was dealing with some heavy stuff about how he was born, but didn't he love me? Why didn't he want to share what he was thinking with me?
What are you doing?
Corey asked me as I stared at my phone. I'm trying to make my phone ring with my mind, I explained.
That's what I thought you were doing. You know that you could just text him, right?
I can't.
Why not?
Because he said he would text me.
So that means you can't text him?
Kind of.
And you've determined this how?
I don't know. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Is there a rule book somewhere I didn't see?
Corey joked.
Isn't there?
Huh, Corey said, getting into bed. What?
I thought a relationship between two guys would be different.
What do you mean?
I guess I thought that it was only with a guy and girl that someone wished the other person would text instead of just texting.
Are you saying that I'm the girl in this relationship, or whatever is going on between Nero and me?
Corey sat up defensively. I did not say that. Your words, not mine.
He paused.
But now that you've said it, aren't you kind of acting that way?
I didn't know how to respond. I didn't find it insulting that he was implying I was the girl, and I didn't think Corey meant it to be. But what he was also implying was that I wasn't being active in the creation of my life. That didn't sit well with me. The reason I had gotten my ass kicked so much in high school was because I wouldn't conform to what others thought I should be. When they tried to put me in a box, I broke the box. I was an active participant in my life. I didn't like Corey suggesting I was being passive.
You're right. If I want to talk to him, I should just text him. I don't know why I was waiting.
I stared at my phone.
Then why aren't you texting him?
Give me a second. I could feel Corey's hot gaze on me as I sat there.
You're still not texting him.
All right, I'll text him. I just need to figure out what to say. Hi? Hello?
Why haven't you texted me all week, you inconsiderate asshole? Those are all good options.
I stared at Corey, surprised.
You should not be more upset about this than I am. It's just that you said things happened between you two last weekend and then he ghosted you. That's bullshit.
First of all, he didn't ghost me. At least, I don't think he did. And second of all, he's got stuff going on.
You've got stuff going on. Hasn't he thought about that? You deserve to be happy too, you know.
As grateful as I was for Corey's righteous anger, I had to wonder where it was coming from. Is everything all right, Corey?
What do you mean?
You seem animated tonight. Is everything good between you and Kelly?
It's just that she never says what she wants. It's like I'm supposed to read her mind or something. Everything's a guessing game with her. It's so tiring. I just wish she would say what she wants instead of getting upset when she doesn't get the thing she never told me she wanted, you know?
Okay, I'll text Nero.
See, I'm texting him, I said, exaggerating my typing while reading aloud. Hey, Nero, long time no hear from. Did you want to get together to talk about what happened? I pressed the button. See, I sent it. It's done. I'm not trying to get him to read my mind.
I stopped when my phone dinged.
Is that him? Corey asked.
Yeah. Corey sat next to me on my bed and looked at my screen as I read it.
He says he's flying out for an away game tomorrow morning. Did you know he had an away game this weekend?
No. Ask him if he wants to get together tonight, Corey suggested. I looked at Corey to figure out what was going on.
You are awfully invested in this.
What? I just want to see you happy. Text it. I did what he said and quickly got a reply. Can't. Getting up early, I read. What do I text now? I asked with a hint of snark.
Corey leaned back deep in thought. He really was invested in this more than I was. I wasn't sure what it was, but something was going on with Corey.
Maybe you wish him luck on the game and ask if you could get together when he gets back?
I shrugged and typed it, figuring it was as good of a reply as any.
Sent. Okay, was what followed. Corey returned to his bed, looking more nervous than I was. It felt like he was living vicariously through me. What was up with that? I certainly appreciated not going through this alone, but he was a happily married man, or something close to it. Why would he want to vicariously live my gay relationship? I set that mystery aside and returned my thoughts to Nero. He had replied to my texts very quickly. It didn't seem like he was playing games. Then, why hadn't I heard from him? Had he just been waiting for me to reach out? Knowing that I needed a fix of Nero one way or another, I sent a text to Quinn. Are you around this weekend? He didn't reply as quickly as Nero, but I didn't have to wait long to hear back from him. I have to work this weekend, so I'll be around. Dinner Saturday night? Sure. I would have preferred to have Nero, but Quinn was a great consolation prize. I liked spending time with Quinn. He was the first guy I felt I had a lot in common with. Corey was great and had been a lifesaver over the years, but he was also straight and in a relationship with his girlfriend since birth. As a gay guy who only recently lost his virginity, there weren't too many areas we could connect on. Looking forward to our dinner almost as much as a date, I was excited when our meeting time rolled around. Frankly, I was also a little nervous. If it wasn't for Nero and the fact that Quinn wasn't my physical type, I would think I was developing a crush on him. This is a nice place, I told him when we arrived at the Italian restaurant. It was one of the first places I went with Lou. And Cage. I don't think I've met Lou. He's my roommate. I know. Nero's mentioned him.
Really?
Quinn asked, confused. He came up in a conversation about Titus.
About Titus?
Yeah. Aren't they dating or something? Quinn laughed. Why would you think they're dating? His reaction surprised me. I don't know. Maybe it was something that Nero said. I think they're just friends. Okay. I would still like to meet him sometime. Maybe I'll book a slot in his schedule for a game night. That is, as long as you and Nero are free.
Sounds good.
By the way, have you heard from Nero?
From Nero?
Not really. He doesn't reach out to me like that.
Oh, he's not a texter?
He's pretty good at replying, but I don't think I've ever gotten a text from him asking me how I was doing.
That sounds like him, I said, feeling relieved.
By the way, how are things going with him? You two seemed snuggly last weekend.
I thought things were going great, but then his mom said what she did, and now he's MIA.
I wouldn't worry about it. He can get like that. If you give him a few days, I'm sure things will settle,
Quinn said as he pulled his phone out of his pocket. Flicking the screen on, Quinn squinted as he read a text. With a few more swipes, I heard the audio from a video. As soon as someone woo-hooed, he lowered the volume. Continuing to watch, Quinn looked more uncomfortable.
What is it?
Quinn opened his mouth to speak, then stopped and watched the video to the end.
You're freaking me out a little, Quinn. What's going on?
Quinn looked up at me, rattled.
Cage just sent me a video that his old teammates posted on one of his socials.
What was the video?
Quinn's eyes bounced around.
Seriously, Quinn, you're freaking me out.
Sorry.
Maybe you should just watch it.
Quinn handed me his phone. The first frame of the video filled the screen. It was of Nero. He had a woman dancing on his lap and she was butt-ass naked. I looked up at Quinn, who was stone-faced. Returning to the phone, I pressed play. I couldn't tell if he was in a strip club or somewhere else, but there were other football player-looking guys standing around watching as Nero motorboated the naked woman's huge breasts. What was most upsetting was that he seemed to love it.
He stared at her body wide-eyed. When she moved her naked hips to grind inches from his face, his head dipped in as if he wanted to take her into his mouth. It was as he dipped forward a second time that the video cut off.
"I'm sorry," Quinn said, looking at me heartbroken. I didn't know what to say or think. Was this what he did every time his team took a road trip? Was someone like her who he really wanted? Had I been a fool to fall for Nero? Once again, a football player had hurt me. It might not have been in the way it was in high school, but it hurt just as much. Maybe more. "Kendall, I don't think this is Nero."
"You don't think that's him in the video?"
"No, it's him, but I don't see him choosing to do something like that.
Yet, there he is doing it." "Where did you say Cage found that?"
"I think it was on an ex-teammate's Instagram account."
"So, everyone has seen this?"
"Not everyone. I'm sure it's just a few people. I'm gonna ask Cage to ask his teammate to take it down."
As Quinn texted, I thought about what I had just seen. Hadn't Nero talked about wanting to go pro? Why would he put himself in that situation?
"Do you think Nero knows the video was posted?" I asked Quinn.
"I don't know. Cage didn't say whether he sent it to him."
"I'll text him about it,"
I said, curious about what Nero would say. After I hit send, I waited for a response. If nothing else, Nero was always a fast responder. But this time, nothing. I stared at the phone, waiting for it. When it became clear that nothing was coming, I placed my phone beside my plate face up. It was possible that whatever was developing between Nero and me was over. Maybe this was his way of telling me. It would be an insanely self-destructive way, but if he wasn't in a good place, he could do anything.
Cage sent the video to Nero. I told him to let me know if he hears back from him.
Quinn and I continued to eat dinner,
but the night was clearly ruined. It felt like neither of us had anything to say. If things were over between Nero and me, didn't that mean that Nero would take Quinn with him? They were practically family. Who was I past a guy Nero had sex with? When dinner was over, I reached for the check to split it, and Quinn insisted on paying. I let him. Nero had told me Quinn's background, and I had spent the weekend in his home. If he wanted to treat me to dinner, I was fine with it.
"So, I'll see you soon?" I asked him as we stood in front of the restaurant.
"Yeah, we should do this again."
"Absolutely. Whatever weekend you're not heading up to Snowtip Falls."
"Sure," Quinn said with a smile. I wanted to hug him, but I didn't think he was a hugging sort of guy. I wasn't sure I was either. So, instead, we went our separate ways and I walked home. Crossing back onto campus, I checked my phone. Nero still hadn't replied. Was it because he was on a plane? Was he just ignoring me? The worst version of every scenario raced through my mind when I suddenly spun around. With the door to my building feet in front of me, I thought I saw someone in my periphery. Evan Carter. I had been distracted, but thinking back on the last 10 minutes, I remembered the feeling that someone had been following me. With my heart racing, I checked the shadows. Was I just being paranoid? Why would he be here? Hadn't Nero made clear what would happen if he ever came looking for me? And with Nero slipping out of my life, what protection would I have if it was Evan? Not finding anyone, I jogged the rest of the way, never taking my eyes off of the darkness behind me. When I was safely inside, I peered through the small glass in the door searching for him. Nothing moved. Maybe I was going insane. Had the shaky connection between Nero and me triggered something? I thought I was over this. I thought I had worked past my Evan Carter nightmares.
"You okay?" Corey asked when I entered our dorm room.
"I don't know."
"What's going on?" he said, giving me his full attention.
I wasn't sure I should tell him. "There's a video of Nero getting a lap dance at a strip club."
"Was the stripper a man or a woman?"
"It was a woman."
"Oh, why did you say it like that?"
"I don't know. You said he was into girls too, right?"
"I think so."
"Huh," he said, getting lost in thought. "Are you suggesting that because he's bisexual, this should be expected?"
Corey looked at me, shocked. "Why, is that a thing?"
"It's a stereotype."
"I didn't know that."
"Why would you, Mr. I'm a boring straight guy?"
Corey looked at me, hurt.
I didn't know why. Sorry, you're not boring. I'm just... I don't know what I am.
You're scared you're gonna lose the guy you like, Corey said with empathy.
His words pierced my heart, spilling its contents onto the floor between us.
I am, I admitted, slowly melting into tears. What is it about me that no one can love?
Corey put his arm around me, gripping me tightly. I put my head on his shoulder. As heartbroken as I was, I knew how lucky I was to have Corey. If only he was into guys. And not practically married. Corey didn't let me go the entire night. We slept like that, and it did help. When we both woke up, it was a little awkward. It probably had to do with the both of us having morning wood. I had been the little spoon, so it didn't matter. But with him pulling me onto him, I was sure I felt something. What made it weirder was how little he did to hide it. What was going on with Corey? I had always dismissed the things he said over the years as signs he rejected toxic masculinity. But was I missing the forest through the trees? I knew I shouldn't have done this considering how kind he was being to me. But as we laid there, I slowly pushed my hips back. I wanted to see if he was really spooning me with an erection. It didn't take me long to find it. Corey wasn't small, and as soon as I made clear contact with it, he pulled away and quickly left my bed. Sorry, he said, unable to look me in the eyes. What was going on with him? I watched as he collected his towel and bath supplies and scurried towards the door. Should we talk about...
No, he said, startling me.
Realizing how harsh he had said it, he calmed himself.
I told Kelly I would meet up with her for breakfast. I gotta go, he told me before exiting for the showers.
Figuring out what was going on with Corey was a good distraction. But eventually, my mind turned back to what was going on with Nero. Picking up my phone, I still didn't find a reply. He wasn't going to text me back. What we had had really was over. I had no idea what had gone wrong between us. My chest ached thinking about it. Getting out of bed to get breakfast, I went through my day like a zombie. I didn't understand. It was just a week ago that I was lying in Nero's arms. Why had this happened? Mercifully, the day eventually ended, and I fell asleep. I was not looking forward to seeing Professor Nandan for my 8 a.m. class. Trying to hide in back, there was a moment when our eyes connected. Crap, he had seen me.
Please reference your syllabus for this week's reading. And Kendall, can I see you before you go? The professor said, collecting his notes and packing his bag.
I did not want to speak to him. Last week, he had warned me about mixing counseling with relationships. It didn't even take a week for him to be proven right. I thought I had it all under control, but now Nero wasn't even texting me back. Everything was a mess.
There's a video with Nero circulating online. Have you seen it?
What?
I think it's from the away trip he just took. Anyway, it's become a national story.
Really? Why?
Because Nero is considered to be the best draft prospect at his position. ESPN has been keeping an eye on him for a while. So when they found the video, it gave them something to talk about.
I didn't know.
You haven't spoken to him recently?
The last time was on Thursday.
Huh. Well, to do a little damage control on Nero's career, the university's public relations team has set up an interview with a news outlet. Considering you're his student counselor, I thought it would be good if you were there.
Me?
Yeah. Would you be okay with that?
I considered it. As I did, it became clear why separating emotions and therapy was so important. I hurt thinking about how big of a mistake I had made. Now the question was, would I admit to my professor that Nero and I had had sex so he could replace me and I could fight for our relationship? Or would I prove to myself that I could be a professional by pushing my feelings for Nero aside and being there for him like I was supposed to be?